This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Paul, something amazing just happened. We went to the YouTube channel. What did it say when we went to the YouTube channel? What do we see there? 1-0-0-0-4-D.
We did it. We did it.
We can stop now?
We're done. There's no point continuing. We're done. Now we can just post shorts, sit back, and enjoy our $3.50 per month. And man, them water sandwiches just turn into filet mignon, yo. Very exciting. Yeah.
We already got a funny comment. Mr. Popo said, be right back, going to go play the real intro. We know what he means. The old one, the awesome intro that our...
Look, you know, again, we can't make everything perfect, right? Like, we can't continue to steal the Rocky theme or from U2 or all the other people we're stealing from. I'm curious how long Jeff's going to keep his mic muted without realizing it, though, because I feel like... in terms of the technological,
I didn't just reach for my laptop right there.
In terms of the technological issues we usually have, that's a pretty low key one.
But last week it was me, so
yeah, I was enjoying that.
And credit on that intro to the message board poster on the InsideMarylandSports.com message board. X-ray hippopotamus. He wants to remain anonymous, so I'm not going to say his real name.
Which is an excellent screen name, to be fair.
Yeah, it's great. And
a lot of X-ray hip related screen names. Like his ratio of how legendary he was as a player to screen names is very high.
It's got to be the highest.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, there's some Boom Osby stuff, which is pretty good. But yeah, that's the best one, I think. I think that hits like the median age of kind of where most of us are at who listen to this kind of thing.
Yeah, one time we need to do a list of the 10 most like esoteric random screen names. Like, I know there's a Mario Lucas for 3.
Yeah.
Love Mario Lucas.
Solid.
Matt Rado fan.
There we go. You're
digging deep.
That's
like I was saying before the show, I've got, it's really pathetic how encyclopedic my knowledge of internet posters and their personalities and screen names is.
It's your job, man. I mean, this is your livelihood. I mean,
who are the most memorable walk-ons of all time? Speaking of Matt Rado, Earl Badu
is up there.
Peace, right?
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Was Kovarik a walk-on?
No, he was scholarship
guy.
Yeah, it's crazy how much more walk-ons in football, like basketball, it's hard to...
Calvin McCall walked on it first, right? Because he was on a football scholarship. And eventually, I think, got a basketball scholarship because he left the team.
Yeah.
I was listening to our Ralph interview a couple nights ago, and he mentioned that.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Varun Ram, NCAA tournament defensive stopper. Varun Ram. No.
Who's the guy? Why can't I think of his name? The hilarious guy who had the podcast and did all the funny stuff like 2 years ago.
Oh, Andrew.
Andrew Terrell. He didn't really play.
Yes.
He didn't really play, though.
I couldn't remember his name.
Right? walk-on, Maryland walk-on history? Is that what everybody's...
Yeah, well, we're obviously, you know...
Everybody's on their edge of their seat about that.
Well, you know, three white dudes on a podcast to start naming guys. I mean, that's like just the most meta thing possible, really. Like, let's name some more dudes.
The show is going to get better.
Going on right now.
The show is like baseball. Hey, let's talk about Joe Orsolac or Tom Henke.
We have a chock full show. We've got many guests today, two sort of separate segments. One of them is going to be, along with Walt, our two favorite guests in the history of the show, Chris Nockey. He's the color analyst for the Terrapins Radio Network, and he brings it every single time. He's got some good takes. He's not afraid to give some opinions. He's obviously got the knowledge, and he's an amazing public speaker. He's all the perfect things that you'd want. And he's also funny and a great guy. You know, even when we meet, when we're talking to him off the air at the games or what have you, and he's just an awesome guy. So we have him he'll be coming on around 8:15. And in just about 10 minutes, we have three guests from the athletic department, which is going to be interesting. There, two of them are from the ticket operations. One of them is Matt Monroe, associate AD,
who handles
donors. So we're going to get into some interesting questions with those guys too.
Hey, by the way, let's start now. If you guys have ticket related, parking related, like stuff that matters to
Nation, Terrapin Club, donation, all that.
Does it matter to you and your experience in Maryland? Put those questions in the chat right now and we will ask them, because, you know, we've got some things we need to talk about, but we want to know from you guys what you've got and what you're interested in, because you don't get this direct access very often. So let's take advantage of that.
So someone brought up John Boyle, class of 76, as a walk-on. Never heard of him. I'm sure most people haven't, by the way.
Pretty sure my dad graduated high school in 1976. I don't know. I don't know what was going on back then.
Yeah.
And then it was great.
We got a funny comment from Rob saying, so Derek is the first on-show commitment tonight, right? And the funny part about that is, how many times have I texted Jeff? Yeah. Get him. Let's have him commit live on the air.
Well, and y'all... And y'all need to put up with Jeff looking down at his phone every 5 seconds tonight and possibly yes, next week, depending on what his commitment time frame is, because that's going to happen. And
should we talk about the special text Jeff's been getting lately?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeff, we'll drop something.
I don't know. We need to say we got several guys going on shortly, but we will get to Derek Queen. That we're not going to. I swear to God, we will get there. But there's a lot going on. Football bye week was nice, though, I will say. Because everybody's like, there were some guys.
Hung out all day, hung out with my wife, sat out on the deck and watched TV. It was so weird for me because it's like extended because I write for like 4 hours afterwards. It was pretty nice, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, there were some guys on the Inside MarylandSports.com message boards, you know, being like, oh, you're going to talk about football tonight? And I was like, I don't know. I might talk about how great my Saturday was, not having to worry about anything. I mean, that was awesome.
It's just people don't, you know, they're tuned out. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's nobody wants a detailed breakdown of Northwestern. It's another one of those things where it's like, all right, it's a pass fail test. Like, go up there, win, don't really care what it looks like, what the score is.
Just win.
You're 14 and a half, you know, 14 in the hook, I think is the line. Just go up there, get it done, and then let's take our shot at Penn State, who kind of looked like butt this weekend. So I don't know. I mean, there's not really much else to say. Like, in any chance at a decent season counts on you going and winning at Northwestern, period. End of sentence.
Yes, they have to do that. But Michigan became maybe a little bit more of a possibility of a win with what's
going on. That's spicy. Like, yeah. The guy on the sideline whose whole job is to steal signs. And
their defense has been pretty damn dominant the past few years. They're number one right now. They're number one in the country right now in total defense.
What happens if they stop stealing signs? Then
the Astros. It's like the Astros when they won the World Series, right?
Yep.
Well, and like the Astros, they are obviously quite talented on defense, and they should be near the top. But you know, when you start adding in the fact they might be stealing signs and have a whole system for it, you know, there's this news about how this guy apparently had gone to other program stadiums and randomly decided to get tickets there, you know, to watch the games and steal signs, apparently. You know, he's got his little cheat sheet on the standing next to Harbaugh with the headset. So there's a lot going on there that's very interesting. And you know, like I said, we'll see how it all works out. But if you haven't paid any attention to that story, it's certainly fascinating. And I would guarantee you that they are not the only program that is doing some form of that. I mean, you know, as our my redneck friends in NASCAR like to say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know what I mean? So I think there's a line that can't be crossed, and I'm sure, you know, we'll see where all that goes. But it's also the NCAA, so a strongly worded letter from the principal might be enough to get them to just be like, oh, I don't know, we're not going to mess with Michigan because that's one of our big tickets. So we'll see.
Harbaugh already got dinged once this year for recruiting violations.
Yeah. It'll be interesting just to see how it works out. Because
seems like he's going to be gone after this year with all this stuff. That's a lot to.
We've said that every offseason.
Breaking point of leaving like six different times. You add these two. This has got it. It has to end.
I feel like every January.
Something, you know.
Every January we have the same conversation about Harbaugh's going to leave for the pros.
Yeah, this year has more scandal involved, though.
It does feel like maybe a Pete Carroll scenario where eventually it's just like you're the frog in the boiling water and it's getting a little too hot. Maybe it's time to skedaddle before anything really comes down, but I don't know. Who knows?
A reminder, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have three members of the athletic department with us. Ticket sales, NIL, maybe we can get into donors, all that kind of stuff. That'll be coming up in just a couple minutes.
Please send us your questions.
Send some questions in the chat room if you got it. We got a lot of people watching right now. Do us a favor. Subscribe for us. Give us a like, all that stuff. Hit the bell if you want notifications, all of those things. I did not update any percentages this week. They didn't play, so I didn't feel like the updating the entire sheet was really worth doing all of that. It's Derek all basically
Queen, percentage anybody cares about right now.
Derek Queen, yes, is all.
Yeah, right, we don't need to bury the lead too much here. I mean, like I said, hopefully
maybe
they'll
we'll
go.
Ask the Terrapin Club people about Derek Queen. See if they have any hot scoops for it.
That's right. Yeah, they'll give us the news from Xfinity. I'm sure. But I mean, really, the thing with football, like, hopefully we'll come back next week. It'll be nice if they can go get that win, get bowl eligible. 6-2, Penn State at home. They're doing the gold out. Everybody's supposed to wear gold clothing if you got it. If you don't, go and buy some. The stuff looks great, frankly.
Well, it's going to look like an LSU game, that stadium, then.
It's going to look really weird. There's going to be a lot of gold and a lot of white. I don't know. They usually wear white, I think, when they travel, but I don't know. I try not to think too much about those people.
Just win one of those two. Just find a way to beat Penn State or Michigan.
That's certainly done.
But
yes,
man, they need that in the worst way, in terms of the energy, fan energy. Not to say, I mean, that sounds like when you say that, it sounds like you're talking about a program that's been losing every year and isn't on the upswing, like they have been. But the upswing hasn't fully translated, you know, with the fan base yet because of one of those wins. So.
Right. And the issue is if you win one of those games, you can take what is a 7-5 or an 8-4 and supersize it. Right. I mean, that's not going to be your average 8-4. If one of those is Penn State or Michigan, you know, that's one of the next steps the program needs to take. And you got two of these teams. They're very good teams, but they're at home. And you feel like with Talia's last year here, if you're going to do it, you need to do it now. So, you know, Northwestern's first, and boy, I'm just as worried about that as I am about anything else, because
I think they'll smash. I think they'll roll.
Hopefully.
There's a reason it's a 14-point. I mean, that sounds funny because it was a 14-point spread against Illinois, but going on the road after that loss, you know, that loss changes the calculations involved in the point spread. So,
right. And Northwestern's a funky team. They seem to play teams really well in the first half and then fade. So, you know, you really want to try and get on them early and not let them get any confidence and kind of go from there. So
now we're going to welcome to the show three members of the athletic department. We have with us
It's getting crowded in Brown, here.
The assistant AD for ticket operations, Mark Cormack, general manager for ticket sales, and Matt Monroe, associate AD in charge of donor experience and development operations. Thank you guys for joining us. Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Glad to be here.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, this is
like Brady Bunch.
I know we're testing the limits of our system here. This is the first time we've had this many people on the.
I personally don't understand how you guys can work under Matt Monroe. He's just a slave driver, terrible to work with. Really, just the worst.
Marie and I have worked together for the last 15 years, but now she's in charge of her own shop. So.
I see. Finally got out from under the puppet master. I see. I like it.
So we have all of you guys here from the ticket operations, from the athletic department, and I'm just going to start off with the big elephant in the room, the thing that everybody talks about every week when the football games happen. The attendance is not where we want. Every Saturday we see these other stadiums around the country full of fans, sometimes over 100,000, and Maryland struggles with it. What can we do as a group, you guys and us and everybody else, what can we do to improve that? What's going on there? Any of you guys?
Okay. Well, I think, you definitely touch on an important thing. I think we're making progress and we're going to continue to go in the right, we're going in the right direction. So I just actively reach out to our fans, just come on over. We've got some great promotions going on and some, opportunities to get in the stands. So
are you guys seeing but it seems like there is an increase last year and then this year with the, the team doing better. Is that accurate?
It definitely is.
Yeah. I mean, we're up about 20% season ticket holders in football and men's basketball from last year to this year. So nice. Definitely upward trajectory. And we've got a lot of things cooking for, both the last two games, the football season and going into basketball and the future schedule. So we're real upbeat inside our office and looking forward to, seeing a full stadium here for years to come, for sure.
What's the ticket situation looking like for the Michigan and Penn State games?
They're going in the right direction. Our goal is to have sellouts. That is our goal, and that's what we're working towards, and hopefully we'll get to those. We'll see them, and we'll see the reflection in the stands as well. Not necessarily just
visiting fans.
Yes, not just visiting fans. Maryland fans in the stands.
Ooh, it rhymes too. I like that. So we've moved to full mobile ticketing, and I will say from my perspective, I'm 43, so I'm not exactly the springest chicken in the world, but I've been able to figure it out and transfer tickets, do all that stuff really easily. What's been the reception to that? And is that now moving forward across everything? Is that across the board? And then what do you see the future in terms of being able to deal with ticketing and make this stuff easier for the fan?
I would say, I think it's been pretty positive. There's definitely been a handful of fans that initially were a little standoffish to it. But overall, it's been pretty positive. It's added, that customer service factor of being able to transfer. You don't have lost tickets anymore. So there's definitely the pluses. I think the piece of it was just change. And I think our unit has done really well at rolling it out and communicating it and just working with our fans if they need a little extra step-by-step for that initial. Once they've done it once, we've heard pretty rave reviews, especially with our parking going digital this year. So that piece of it, really the no longer losing them and having to deal with getting them replaced and having to mail things to people. So I would say across the board, yes, we'll continue to work to improve it. We've had some new features this year for those that are just getting their men's basketball season tickets, where it's called an all-in-one feature. where you just have to download your tickets once instead of 17 or 18 times. So that has been very well received so far.
Yes, that scared me to death. But like it, once I got to the second game and they let me in, I figured out, okay, we're gonna be all right. So
I was on the phone with somebody today, and they're like, I thought I had to download all the games. I'm like, no, you just hit download once and it'll automatically appear for you. So pretty simple.
It definitely noticed that the games, like more vibrancy, just an excitement around everything. So yeah, definitely feel things moving in that right direction. Matt, you are associate AD in charge of donor experience, develop operations. It sounds like, does that cross into the NIL world a little bit, because donors are now being asked to
steal my question, Larry. I had that one all teed up.
So, how much does it overlap? And like, are there times when you say, "Hey, yeah, you could donate to the athletic department, or you could donate to the Turtle NIL"? How do you guys? How does that working right now?
Yeah, definitely, and it's a major priority for us. NIL, you know, has become, you know, the focal point of college athletics, certainly. And, you know, what we're trying to do to remain competitive in you know, the Big Ten and on a national landscape. So it comes up in every conversation that we have with donors, and in terms of like the different areas that you can give your money to. And it's become a priority. I think you guys are aware that we recently rolled out, you know, a One Maryland Collective, which kind of, you know, puts everything into one bucket so that everyone can donate towards that one fund, and, you know, combines the Turtle NIL and TBIIAF and Hard Shell kind of together. And there's different models in terms of where they can give their money. So if somebody wanted to give their money and just have a tax deductible donation, you could do that. There's also a membership type of model where you can give, you know, $25, $50, $100 and get some benefits from that, you know, with some swag and some other things. So there's a couple different areas that you can support through NIL. There's still, you know, obviously changes throughout the country, and, you know, different states have different laws, and we're still trying to figure that piece out and how we do that on a daily basis. But definitely a major priority for us, and one of the things that, again, we talk to donors every day about as an additional way that you can support.
And then what about, obviously, Terrapin Club, separate entity, not going toward NIL. Why should people support the Terrapin Club, or do you have any new donor, you know, sign up promotions, or what's going on with the Terrapin Club right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up, Jeff. So, you know, we're just trying to get as much support as we possibly can. So, and trying to get people at even the, you know, our starting level is $55. We do have a promotion going on right now. You know, kind of a monthly model of $5 a month. You sign up, you start getting benefits right away. That's going throughout the month of October for the next week. And, you know, what we're trying to do is make sure that people have a tremendous experience for the amount of money they're given. You know, and that could be anywhere from the lowest level to the highest level, making sure that they understand that their dollars are going to support our overall student athlete experience. From the scholarships to nutrition to everything that they do on a daily basis. So also looking at, you know, understanding that we're going to steward them in a way throughout the length of their time as a donor. Understanding that we need to make sure that they're value for their donor, and they understand where the money is going. You know, we were up last year about 8% from the year before, coming off of, you know, kind of a low point with COVID. We're looking at our goal is to grow that over 10%, so about a 20%, you know, in a two-year basis. So we're on track to do that. We haven't done a ton of soliciting so far because we really start ramping up with our end-of-the-year giving, so we'll start doing that here towards the end of the calendar year. But, yeah, we have that promotion going on right now, so any new donors that can go on for $5 a month and, again, start getting those benefits right away through our donor experience program, you know, single game parking benefits, all that stuff that we provide, in addition to obviously the money going to support our student athletes.
And the 8% growth when converted to Maryland fans is like 45% growth.
Yeah, I mean it's a slow crawl, but I think we put everything in place to try to get there. You know, we're I think the Backstage Pass program that we have is pretty unique. There's only a few schools that the country that do it the way that we do it. And I think we probably have more experiences than any of the ones that I've seen or been a part of. So definitely excited about that and the things that wait for us in the future as we throw this thing where between tickets and donations and drive it to we all know where it can go.
Where do they go to sign up?
I can if you guys have like a link or anything like that, I can do it. It's a special link, so I can either send that to you or however, whatever the best way to get that over to you guys.
Okay.
All right. So I got two questions, boys. So let me cook for a second here. First of all, I've been a big proponent, and Matt has heard me talk about this way too much over the last 20 years or so, about the fact that Maryland, it doesn't have an established donor culture, whereas you go from a student to a graduate and then begin to feel like that's when you start the donation process. Maybe it's $2 a month, $5 a month, whatever it is. And then as you get older, you start getting more interested in benefits that are more interesting. You have the ability to give more. So what are you guys doing now to be able to target current students and recent graduates to kind of continue to build that culture that we honestly just haven't had in my experience here, and kind of build that out so you've got a lot more people giving less money instead of kind of counting on much older people giving more money?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a couple of things. I'll start with students first. You know, it really starts with education and educating our students of what the Terrapin Club is, what it does, what it supports. So try to get in front of them as much as possible. So we're in the process of looking to develop a marketing plan specifically geared towards students and young graduates. We do have a young alumni program. So it's first 5 years out of school, first year out of school, it's $25, second year, $50, $75. And once you get to that fifth year, it's $125, which is almost up to the silver giving level that we have. So we do have an established young alumni program to where, you know, we have, you know, specific benefits, whether it's, you know, ticket based or some events that they can take part in throughout the year. But our focus will be at a marketing plan specifically for students so that we can, again, kind of build that culture that you're talking about when they're students. And then by the time they graduate, they completely understand and say, oh, I need to be a donor, right? Or finding a pathway while they're students to become a donor while they're actually in undergrad. So we're working on that right now. Hopefully we'll be able to put that into play over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, I think to Matt's point also, having the students engage with us is huge. We send out post-game surveys after every single game, and there's a question to denote, you know, who you are. And our sales and service team, we are making a concentrated effort on reaching out to everybody who leaves good and negative remarks. But the students and young alumni are vital for us to reach out to. And Matt said education is a huge part of it. And that's our job to educate these students, young alumni, and follow up with them, let them know what they get, you know, for their membership dollars and, you know, what they are supporting. So huge concentrated effort that has started here recently for us and will only grow as our sales team grows as well.
Well, congrats. Yeah, it's been a long time since Maryland internally focused both on the long play, like Matt said, with donors and cultivating, and then also on the fan experience and feedback. So you guys have figured out the formula to, you know, build it back.
We're working on it for sure.
Great. And, you guys are doing a great job. That was the game day experience, from the scoreboard, the lighting system, the sound system, all of that stuff has made it so much better. Like, it's really awesome. You can see that difference. People are coming, enjoying their time, even if Maryland maybe doesn't win. But like,
it is very noticeable.
It's, I mean, very noticeable. You guys are doing a great job.
me and my old heads have been doing this a long time, and like it's been a very noticeable change in the attitude and the game day experience. And I'm hoping, given with the good student attendance at football, and I'm sure there will be at basketball too, that'll help carry over too. My last question would be this. We're at the end of what's been, 10, 15 years of some really big capital campaigns in terms of the Jones Hill House. We just started breaking ground on the Basketball Performance Center. Upgrades to the field hockey and softball stadiums, I believe. So we're also balancing that with being able to deal with the NIL situation, which, as we're seeing, is like a blinking, flashing alarm going off, I imagine, in every coach's head, especially Mike Loxley and Kevin Willard right now. So from your perspective, how are you able to manage trying to raise money for these capital campaigns versus NIL? And then what are we looking at down the line in terms of what you guys are planning, for upgrades? We talk about a men's soccer stadium, I think, as long as I've been alive, things like that. Other improvements need to be made. So what's on the docket, and then how are you managing those asks from your perspective? I know you're not asking directly for NIL, but it's a part of the puzzle now. And I know it's certainly vital every moment to get more of that money in. So
yeah, no question about it, Paul. And I really think that it gets down to listening and figuring out what the donor wants and what they care about. And, because some people are wanting, they enjoy having a name on a building or on an office, and then they want to give towards that particular project, or they have a passion for that side. There's others that have a passion for directly supporting student athletes, through NIL. So I really think you have to get to know them personally on a very personal level, so you can understand what makes them tick and what makes them want to give their money, because it's different for everybody. Again, some people are for those things and some people are not. But I really think it's starting with building the relationship, understanding who they are, and then that way you can guide them in the right direction when they have specific questions on where do you want me to donate. So
and that does feel like a bit of a change from years past. I remember I was on the board of directors for the Maryland Gridiron Network back in the day, and there would be fights about dollars. One organization or one arm feels like that dollar being spent there is taking a dollar from them. So it does feel like this is getting consolidated a little bit, and it's much more of a like, okay, well, what matters to you?
Yeah, we want people to support in any avenue that they want, right? It could be if you're a fan of our women's lacrosse program and you want to donate directly to support their operating fund, absolutely, right? If you want to donate to the Terrapin Club, if you want to donate to NIL. So yes, making it more of a holistic athletic department feel versus, it's not siloed. It shouldn't be siloed. And hopefully we'll be able to start seeing the success of that. As you said, there shouldn't be competing entities.
Well, and hold on, Larry, I'm not done with them. I promised Kirby I would give Matt a hard time. What else is there anything you can announce in terms of capital projects that are coming down the pike that people should be looking for, or perhaps looking in terms of donations and things of that nature?
We don't have anything that we're going to announce right now, but I can tell you the ones that are going on that we're actively fundraising for. So as you guys know, we broke ground on Basketball Performance Center back in June, but we're still fundraising for that project. Field hockey and lacrosse complex, which is almost done, very, very, very close to being fully complete and done. Baseball and softball hitting facilities, both of those are we're actively fundraising for those. There's a number of other different programs that are going to benefit from all these different facilities. But I would imagine that in the near future, we might have a couple others. I just can't announce them right now.
Fair enough. Yeah, and last,
donors pay to get their names on buildings. We're not like really balling at that level, but how much would me and Larry have to give to have Paul's name put on a urinal at the new basketball facility?
I'll have to run that by our naming committee, but we'll take a look. We'll get
give me a number. Give me a number.
We'll definitely get you a number. No doubt.
Be in touch. Yeah, get in touch with me.
You just get one of those little like plastic sticky
little metal. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want a cake. I want like my name on the urinal. Like not in the danger zone, just in the vicinity. You know what I mean?
Customization. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, you're thinking about me when you're you know relieving yourself.
We have a lot of people in the chat room. Just so you know, they're already giving lots of compliments about the game day experience and about, just so you guys know, a lot of positive feedback. And I'm sure there's going to be many more people listen to the podcast and everything after this live show. So expect more of that. We end every interview with fill in the blank. Normally we do five. There's three of you, so I'm doing two each. We got six this week. I'm going to give you six rapid fire questions. You say the first thing that comes to your mind, and I'll say who it is. Marie, your favorite memory of Terp Sports is?
Ooh, my first national championship with men's soccer back in 2005.
Nice. Mark, your favorite all-time Terp is?
Boomer Esiason.
Matt, your best project you've been a part of in the AD in the athletic department at Maryland was?
I would say Jones Hill House.
Okay, Marie, the best ticket-selling non-revenue sport is?
Not getting me on that one. They're all great.
Okay, you guys can take a guess.
You'll be graded on this tomorrow.
Mark, the next time the capacity at Maryland Stadium will change will be up or down?
Ooh. Oh, I can't say. I can't say.
Do you know and you're not allowed to say? Or you?
We discuss a lot of things constantly internally.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, I like that kind of deflection. Very
last
nice.
Last one for Matt. The number of times you've called Sergey Brin and begged him for dollars is?
I don't have his phone number, but I would probably call him.
We should probably get on that. Can you Google chat him or something? I don't know.
Probably like Sergey at Google.com.
Yeah, what are the kids doing these days? Yeah.
I know it's being worked at a much higher level than where I'm at. So.
There are no higher levels than you, Matt Monroe.
Plenty.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. We're all on your side, backing you guys. We love what you're doing. Let us know if there's any way we can help. Give us links, give us, you know, phone numbers, whatever, what have you, emails, everything, any way we can help you guys. We're all loving what you guys are doing. And thank you very much for joining us. And thanks for the great job you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Bring us Michigan and Penn State.
Yeah. Thanks for all you guys do to support and promote our program. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Get back to me on that number.
Yeah,
we will.
Yeah, and Mark, I want a private text on that stadium change.
Yeah. You got it, Larry.
All right,
it'll be you know in background. It's fine.
Yeah,
we won't say anything. Tell Matt, promise. Right?
Wink, wink.
No, yeah. We won't tell Matt anything.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, right, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
I hit him hard on the first one. I felt a little bad about it. I feel like they felt like I was attacking him. But
it's tough when you have three people because you don't know who to answer, right? You know,
that's what everybody wants to know about.
You wound up on that sucker, though. You were like, there are so many schools and so many more. Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of fans.
It's true.
You know, so how do we get this to stop being such an embarrassing?
I was just looking at the faces. I'm like, oh man, they're just gonna like, oh, I don't know, bad reception, Wi-Fi.
It needed to be asked. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No,
you have ticketing people in the athletic department on. That is the number one issue.
No, that is we would be doing a disservice if we didn't just, you know, lay it out there because that's what people complain about. So it's worth asking the question. They handled it as well as possible, I think.
And I followed it up with many compliments, by the way, too, which they deserve.
And they're doing their jobs. They're far more ambitious and forward-thinking than their predecessors, I think, in Maryland, which has been stale forever. They're actually being proactive. Like, they were talking about getting feedback from students and, you know, the game day experience and building donors from when they're young. You know, that's something Maryland has not done for years, because whoever's been in charge generally of the Terrapin Club has just been, you know, trying to get that.
They go back to the same 25 or 50 people who give a lot of money.
Not long-term cultivation, just trying to scrounge up, you know.
Well, we talked about that.
I've been in the weeds in that stuff for a long time, and this is a good staff, and they've got a good direction, and, you know, it's worth getting excited. Nobody's excited about development, but, like, you should feel more confident in that your dollars that you are giving are going to good places.
If you went to, like, a development conference, they'd probably be excited at some point.
They're doing a great job. There's lots of
big time management buzzwords going on back there. I imagine
another person who does a great job
is Chris.
Our next guest, who does a great job as the color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins Radio Network. Welcome to the show, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to see you guys again.
Yes, it's always great to have you. At least twice, three times a year, two times. What do you think, Jeff? What's the average?
Oh, I don't even know. Chris is the OG of IMS Radio, really.
That's right.
The OG. Yeah. It's been 10.
Chris, what did you order from DoorDash tonight for the movie?
I knew you'd pull that one up. dinner was an hour and a half ago. I have to be light on my feet for you guys.
I like that. Let it digest. Get work yourself through the system. Ready to
there
go.
You go.
I like
Paul,
it.
Paul loves bringing up the DoorDash. It was an iconic moment.
It was brilliant. I have not been impressed by anybody else's performance on the show.
It was either brilliant or it was a commentary on how important we are.
Suter did the same thing, right? Suter, he was at the bar drinking margaritas. Like, it's very similar, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think the margaritas would trump DoorDash in my book, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Just your ability to, like, give the answer while, like, getting the food and talking to the guy.
Yeah, you were exchanging money.
That was impressive.
That was good.
Anything for you guys.
Chris, how was your summer? Did you actually go to Italy with the team or no?
No.
Okay.
Summer off-season was good. I was telling Jeff I had some surgery right at the end of the season. I had a knee replaced in late April. And so I was down for the count for a couple months. What's that?
I said, you're that old?
Miles. It's the miles, you know, all the playing. I still have collateral damage from standing and coaching all those years. You know, sometimes my back acts up and it's just a sort of a function of being on your feet for 4 hours at a time, you know, moving. And it's all those things have added up and here I am, you know, but I feel great. It was a good move for me. And back to doing everything that I was doing, you know, a couple of years ago. But that's all good. Summer was great. It went by really fast, though.
And you obviously heard about the team in Italy over the summer. It was a very productive trip, and they looked very good, correct? That's what we're hearing from everybody.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about the level of comp that you get over there, you know. And you do it for way more reasons than the level of comp, you know, to be quite honest with you. First of all, it's a great recruiting pitch, you know, to be able to tell your kids you're going to Italy, you're going to Greece, you're going to Spain, whatever that is. And then, you know, you in this day and age of the portal, there's just so little continuity that you know, any opportunity that you have to sort of get these guys to gel a little bit, you know, one of the things they took advantage.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
advantage of it, I got a chance to go see it, was when you go on a summer trip, you're allowed by NCAA rule 10 days of practice in advance of the trip. And so I was over there this summer watching them practice in advance of that. And man, those are invaluable to be able to have full scale practices in a situation like that. That's can't put a price tag on that. So there are a lot of reasons to do it. I think everything went really well. And obviously they smoked pretty much everybody they played.
Chris, I feel like this team is being underrated nationally. I know that makes me sound like a homer maybe a little bit, but you know, you got two of the top 10 players in the Big Ten according to the preseason vote. Dante Scott sounds like he had an amazing offseason. Do you agree? Do you feel like that they've got it? I mean, they're not being completely overlooked. They were third in the Big Ten poll, but just what are your thoughts on the outlook?
You know, I think that any preseason prognostications are just, it's kind of you know, dartboard stuff where you just, you know, you throw it wherever it lies. You know, I mean, there's so much movement, and everybody is different than they were last year. You know, it's great that Maryland has a core of those three guys, Dante Scott and obviously Juju and JY. But you know, there are a lot of new parts. Ian Martinez is gone. I think he probably would have been a starter here this year. In spite of, I know you've got two good freshmen and they're certainly going to get playing time, but so you miss a guy like that. You miss Hakeem Hart. You know, I sat at practice yesterday with an NBA guy who had been to Villanova the day before. And I said, "How's Hakeem playing?" And he looked at me and said, "Well, he's Hakeem. You know, he does a little bit of everything." He said, he's like their sixth best player, but he's like a sixth starter for them. And then in the next breath, he was telling me what the Villanova players were making through NIL. And that is astounding what, you know, the bank that they've got up there. And, you know, their best player is making about $850, which is big time money. But so at any rate, they'll miss those guys. But back to your question, Jeff, I just think it's all a crapshoot. I think that right now you're just kind of guessing a little bit. I like where the Terps are. I love how hard they play. They do a lot of things really well. And I love the energy that the two freshmen bring. They're completely different players, and both provide something that the team was missing. Deshaun is just he's a turbo is what he is. He's just relentless. You know, he's not the most skilled kid in the world, but he's got the greatest motor possible. The other kid, Jamie, just seems to think that every shot he takes is going in, and he's just fearless. He'll take a shot from anywhere, any kind of shot. He's a very gifted offensive player. So both those guys give them, you know, elements that they really, really needed. And as a result, they're both going to play a lot of minutes. And that's why it's a little bit of a crapshoot too. You know, you got two freshmen playing big time minutes in Power Five. And so that comes with it, you know, some questions.
So Chris, I know last year going into the season, one of our big concerns was, you had a couple, right? The first was 3-point shooting. Where was that going to come from? And the second really was big man depth. It feels like they've solved one of those problems. You know, if CSR can be a serviceable big guy, Geronimo can play kind of as a smaller four, depending on situational stuff. But 3-point shooting, man, it's the one thing that worries me a little bit. Is that an issue for you? And what else do you see about this team that's going to tell you early on in the season whether you think they're going to be pretty good or not?
Well, I think it's the development of guys like Geronimo. Quite honestly, I think those guys – you know what the book is on Dante and JY and Julian. It's the development of the next wave. It's Geronimo, you know, played, they were telling me when they, in the scrimmage against Cincinnati that, you know, he played basically four different spots for them. They went up there without a couple of big guys. Geronimo had to play some five when Julian went out, and he was pretty serviceable. So you can't have enough guys like that. And of course, obviously the more positions you're able to play, the harder it is to take you off the court. There's always a spot there for you somewhere. So the development of those guys, I would say 3-point shooting is one of the things that, you know, that has to get better. I was watching practice yesterday. Dante Scott must have hit 10 in a row during the course of scrimmage, you know, up and down, playing up and down. Jameer shooting the ball well. You know, like I said, the freshman, you know, Deshaun is not a great shooter at this point in time, sort of wills the ball in. But I think they've got enough of that. I think they've got enough of everything. In terms of the big man depth, you know, they've had some issues with injuries here this fall. Yesterday, Callum was out. He's got some kind of a hamstring tweak. It doesn't appear to be that serious. And Matty Traore was practicing yesterday, but the previous time I'd gone there, he was not practicing. So those guys have been in and out of the lineup. I love the way Callum looks physically. You know, he's got a real chest and shoulders on him, and he looks the part. So
and he has the attitude. Like, that wasn't the issue.
Yeah,
you know,
He was undaunted when he got a chance to play last year, and just got to get him healthy. And you got to get these guys reps early in the season too. You know, Matty is one of those guys. He's just so gifted athletically. He's like a guy that you just don't find a lot on your roster, and you got to find him some minutes somehow, some way. 6, 8, 9 minutes. Get him into the flow of games. Let him protect the rim. You know, maybe get some dunks out on the break, because he will get out on the break. And so they've got some options for sure. And I think Willard really likes the fact that he's got the depth this year that he didn't have last year.
Chris, I'm curious about the long-term program building under Willard and the way he's going to build the program. Off to a great start, obviously, with the freshman class coming in this year, and hopefully following that up with a good one next year with a couple of guys. How do you foresee that going for him in the long term? Do you think he's going to be getting these two or three really big players every year, supplementing with some transfers and maybe some lower ranked guys that he builds up? Is that going to be the pattern for him?
Well, I mean, you kind of have to ask him that, but I would guess that's probably what he's thinking. If he can get some local kids, I think it's really important to him and for him that he, you know, get these local guys. He was able to keep Deshaun and Jamie here locally. And then, you know, if he's able to get Derek Queen, who was on campus, you know, those are big time recruits for Maryland. So that's a big part. I just don't think that the traditional way of building a program is quite as relevant as it once was. And for a lot of reasons, I just think that the prevalence of so many kids in the portal allow you to find, you know, college level players, guys who've proven themselves. They also cost less than some of the freshmen. You know, if you're bringing in a transfer, and that's a part of the equation. It's like managing the salary cap, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that you're ever going to go about it as you did, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. But, you know, bringing in local guys, particularly some, you know, a couple of young guys every year, certainly that's a big part of the plan moving forward.
And Chris, you think having more depth this year, it seems like they should be able to, you know, Willard's talked a little bit about how last year he only had a certain number of guys to roll with. You think that'll lead to him playing more, you know, pressing more, going more up tempo, having bodies and more size to run out there?
Yeah, I really haven't seen too much in the way of pressure in practice, but I have seen a lot more pace. And I've seen a lot of very competitive practices because you do have more depth. And, you know, you got guys playing on the second team that think that they're first team players, you know. So, I think it's clearly there's a lot more depth. And I think that, you know, I think that you'll see Willard sort of figure that out. You know, usually when you get to the conference play, you shorten the bench a little bit. You get it to 8 maybe. I don't know that that's the case. I think he's really comfortable with 9, 10 guys, and you may see him keep that kind of, you know, that kind of approach for most of the year.
So Chris, there's been a lot of talk about certain guys during the offseason. You know, everybody gets hyped up, right? Geronimo's the one guy that seems to get pulled up. You look at his stats, 4 points a game, you know, a couple boards, not super great shooting stats. What are you seeing or hearing behind the scenes about him as a breakout player? And if there's another guy that maybe we're not talking enough about of when you're kind of projecting how the season's going to look?
No, I mean, Geronimo is one of those guys that because he does so much, he's always going to be a coach's dream, you know, because he can fill in so many places. He's also just an absurd athlete. Crazy how easily he gets up. And he looks to me like, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. You guys, when you come to a game, he looks to me like if you put on 15, 20 pounds on him, he'd be an NFL tight end. He's got the lower body is unbelievably strong and just cut up. And, you know, he's that way. I don't know that he's ever going to be, you know, like a double-double guy. I don't see that. But what I see is a guy who helps you in a lot of different ways. They certainly have upped their athletic IQ, that athletic quotient from last year with Harris Smith and with Maddie and Geronimo. It's much more athletic top to bottom than it was last year. In terms of a breakout guy, you know, I'd say both freshmen are candidates. You know, they're in completely different ways. You know, if you let Deshaun go to his left, he's going to dunk on you. And if you, you know, you leave Kaiser open, he's just going to fill it, you know? So, you know, those are guys. And I think it's easy. Isn't it kind of easy? Those are the guys that most people pick as breakouts, the guys that we've never seen play in the uniform.
It's backup quarterback syndrome, right?
Yeah. And which is a shame too, because you know, one of the guys who's looked great, Julian Reese he seems to get every rebound in practice. And now he's playing against real players. You know, last year he was getting every rebound in practice, but he's playing against a young Callum and, you know, and he was just kicking everybody's ass, you know? So now he's kicking everybody's ass and playing against quality guys. So, you know, you sort of take that for granted. I've read Willard's praise of Julian, you know, and he's gushes about the player he's become. And so you kind of take those guys for granted. Unfortunately, we'll see. I don't see the hype, you know, and the hype about Deshaun being a first round pick is sort of beyond me at this point in time. One, because he's never played had a minute in the uniform, but secondly, I just don't know that he's got the skill level just yet. But if he does, if he ends up being a first round pick, it will mean that he had a monster year and this team had a monster year along with it. So if it does end up happening, I would guess it's for a lot of good reasons for Maryland fans.
Chris, you were talking about Villanova's NIL and a sort of a little sadness overcame me when you said that, because Maryland doesn't have that. We got a good question in the chat about it too. What's the program ceiling at the current NIL level? Is Maryland's competing against these other schools? Is Maryland always going to be a second-class citizen in this regard? Are they going to be fighting an uphill battle, or is it going to be level playing field?
Well, I don't think the Terps, I don't think that Maryland will ever be in a situation. Well, I won't say never, but you know, there are ways away from a situation like Villanova where you can pay six guys several hundred thousand dollars a year, but you can pony up for selective guys, you know, and you can make it equitable. I think there are a lot of reasons beyond money. You know, you just have to be competitive in that area and then, you know, let some of the other trappings of the program take over the building, the conference, you know, all that stuff. It certainly helps. You know, it needs to get better. And Kevin Willard has spent untold hours beating the bushes. You know, I've been at a bunch of the events, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, and, you know, raising money. And he is brutally honest with people about, you know, we need basically a fund, $5-6 million, you know, a year for this to do it right. And he's out there, and they're not getting that just yet, but you got to start somewhere. And he's a hell of a salesman. I mean, he is, you know, he sort of oozes love for the program and, you know, an urgency as well. And I think all those things will work for him long term. You know, they've come a long way in a short period of time. It just has to get better.
All right, Chris, I know you got to go for another interview, but I wanted to ask real quick. Your Twitter handle is @XCoachNaki. So you've been a head coach at a high level. Can you imagine coaching a program like Maryland in the portal era and managing a roster? Like what can you even imagine what that's like being Kevin Willard right now?
I can't. And you know, it's funny when the further I get away from it, from the years that I coached, and see, so I hate to do the math on you guys, but I was thinking about this the other day. I went away to college to play in the fall of 1976. And it's, as a result, since that time, I've been involved in some level of college basketball, even peripherally, for 47 years now, which is nuts to me. And yet this is a kind of an age and era that I don't even hardly recognize anymore. When I left coaching, one of the things that I really felt badly about is that I had started to not like the kids. It's just one of those things where here's what it is. If you have 15 guys on your team, you spend an inordinate amount of time on the two assholes and not the 13 good guys. As I left coaching, I thought, man, maybe it was time to get out anyways, because I started to feel this way about the kids. Now you fast forward to this day and age, where basically kids come in with this incredible sense of entitlement and, you know, what are you going to do for me? I don't know that it drive me crazy. I don't know how I would handle it. I was talking to Gary Williams one day and I said, how would you handle it in the age of the portal if a kid came in and said, I want to transfer? Even a kid who was playing for you, a kid who was in your rotation. And he just kind of shook his head. He said, I suppose I would say, who can I call and get the hell out of my office? You know? So this is wild. It's a circus out there. But you know what? I saw Mike Bray had a great quote last year when he was still coaching. He said, you better figure it out. You know, figure it out. Figure out the NIL. Figure out the portal. It does you no good to bitch and complain about it. You got to deal with it. You got to understand how it can benefit you and how it can work for you. And I think he's right. I whenever I lament the fact that we're here, it just makes me sound like a crotchety old guy, and you just got to figure it out, man, and make it work for you.
Me too, Chris.
What's that? Chris,
like anything in life, pretty much, right?
Yeah. And you know what? You got to learn, you know, absolutely. You got to learn. One of the coolest things about coaching is there's a certain element of almost daily crisis management, where if there's something going on with your team, and that also applies to a game, where you have to make a split second decision in a timeout about subbing a critical guy or calling a particular play with 8 seconds left, down one, and there's a certain element to that. The mental gymnastics is the coolest part of the job. Well, now it just got tougher. The gymnastics just got tougher with all the things that are in place in this day and age.
You mentioned Gary. When does Chris hosts a really good podcast, DC Coaches Podcast. With Gary Williams, when does that start up again?
We start up the second week of November, like the week of when we're back from Asheville, we'll be doing a show, the 11th, 12th, 13th, something like that.
And I'll be writing up those quotes.
No, he won't. He'll be using an AI system. Come on.
Either way, we'll be getting content out.
Chris, you know how we end every interview. I'm going to give you 5 rapid fire questions. You say the first thing that comes to your mind. Fill in the blank. The most surprising. Sorry, Paul stole that one from me. The best player on this year's team will be.
I'm going to say Jameer Young.
Okay. That's also what Walt said, by the way. You guys are in agreement. This season, starting five is the best starting five at Maryland since?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Now you're going to. Well, since the Diamond Stone
team. Okay. 2015. Nice. In the NCAA tournament, the Terps will make it to the round of?
16.
Walt said 8. If you were commissioner of college basketball, the first rule you would change would be?
The first rule, I would say go with 2 referees instead of 3. I would
coaches hate refs so much. It's like a lifelong thing.
Those guys took food off my table for so long, Paul.
It's always,
you know what? The block charge is always an issue for me. There are too many charges called for my way of thinking. But I think the game is great the way it is right now. I think just the things on the outside, you know, the NIL and the portal, and those things aren't going away. I mean, toothpaste is out of the tube on those things now.
Okay, last one. The date that Derek Queen will commit to Maryland is?
Well, according to Jeff's fine website, it's Friday the 27th. Right?
So, hey, my scoop, man. What are you doing?
I mean, my man Jeff can waffle with the absolute best of them. You know, he can basically say it. He said, but things happen. That's always the caveat, you know. So,
I survived some lean Maryland years, Chris. You learn tricks.
I hear you.
Down cycles.
I've been here. I've been through.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. He is at @XCoachNaki on Twitter, and his podcast is at @CoachesDCPod on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Chris, thank you for joining us again. You've been great. As always, our favorite guest.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good talking to you again,
too. All right, Chris. See you, man.
See you now.
See ya.
All right. Show's over. Nothing else to talk about. unless you got a wheels report, we can do that and then end it. That's fine.
We do.
Oh, God damn it. I was hoping you did.
We do. Let's go to Paul's favorite segment of the show, the non-revenue report with our boy Wheels. But before that, a lot of people watching right now. I think a lot of new people. Do us a favor. Hit a subscribe button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button for us. All that stuff. Thank you very much. Here's Wheels.
Hey, everyone. This is Wheels with your Inside Maryland Sports non-revenue sports report. Maryland men's soccer team has not missed an NCAA postseason appearance since 2000.
Until now.
The 2023 team, however, saw its postseason hopes end on Wednesday night, not as a result of their 3-0 win against Navy, but with Ohio State's 3-2 win over Michigan State. With Ohio State's win, the Terps are mathematically eliminated from the Big Ten tournament, meaning that their 22-season streak of postseason appearances will end. They do finish their regular season this weekend at Ohio State. Women's soccer completed its winless Big Ten campaign with a 2-0 loss to number 19 Indiana.
Is that nine straight games?
Did not score a single goal in their final 10 games of the season.
10 games!
Which also means that they failed to score a single goal in Big Ten play this year. They hit into the offseason, needed a major influx of talent. Women's volleyball ended a 4-match losing streak with a win over Iowa this past Saturday. Their reward? A trip to number 1 Nebraska on Friday. That marks the first of a 3-game road swing for the Terps. Men's and women's golf finished their fall seasons this weekend. Men head to South Carolina and the women head to North Carolina for fall tournaments. Let's end on a positive note. Field hockey team knocked off number 5 Iowa this last Friday and then followed that up with a win against Indiana in College Park. The Terps have a 7-game win streak, which includes 4 wins over ranked teams. They now head to Evanston to take on top-ranked Northwestern in the Big Ten regular season finale. A win gives the Terps a share of the Big Ten regular season championship. And that's a wrap on your IMS non-revenue sports report. Take care, everyone.
Yeah, we love Wheels. Everybody except Paul loves Wheels.
Rough fall, man.
Oh, man. The soccer teams.
Season of any level of soccer in soccer history. 0 goals in 10 games? How's that? Why? You look really bad. Really bad.
That's not helping my soccer arguments with people who don't like soccer.
Games are what? 9 hours long, right?
Yes, Jeff. Exactly.
You should be able to score 1 goal every 3 games, even if you're awful, I feel like.
My favorite thing is Christian Pulisic is a good soccer player for the U.S. Said that if you made soccer goals worth 7 points, people would pay more attention to soccer. If your 3-1 ended up being 21-7, I don't hate it.
And if corner kicks were worth 3, like field goals, and then you'd have, you know.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
27-17 games or something like that, yeah.
You got to do something to spice it up a little bit, right?
Either way, that's unfathomable. I feel like,
yeah,
like that is so bad.
It's not good.
It's the most amazing statistic since that Ravens preseason winning streak,
which is over.
Yeah, by the way. God.
Yeah, thanks to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, Jeff, tell us about Derek Queen. Here we go. Oh, he's leaving. What about Derek Queen? Naki punted on the question. Are you going to punt on it as well?
No, I'm not going to punt. I mean, I still feel you asked me last week. I thought I said 70% chance for Maryland. I don't think that's gone down at all. But like Naki said, you know, as he claimed that I'm waffling or whatever the phrase was.
Waffling on the on the commitment date, to be fair, not your information.
Well, you don't know. The NIL era is different. I mean, we saw what happened with Dickinson. This is not really comparable to Dickinson. You know, it's not you're not talking about the highest rated transfer portal player ever and a guy really looking for that big payday. You know, I reported a lot today. I think it's on the site. You know, there's three or four different stories that have a lot of behind the scenes details on where things stand. So you can get that at the site. But, you know, long story short, I still like Maryland's chances.
You ready to put in the crystal ball?
I've had it in for about a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're not the first. People keep asking me because I put it in so far ahead of time that, you know.
Yeah, I forgot that you did that. What rating do you have the crystal ball at?
7, I think.
You ready to raise it?
I've been close a few times to hitting that button and upping it. And I definitely wouldn't rule that out, but I want to wait and see how the next few days kind of unfold. But I think they're in pretty good position.
It does feel like it's at least getting towards the finish line here. Like I think it's pretty publicly available that all the coaching staffs of the programs that are involved, us, Maryland, Houston, Indiana, had been in to visit him in the last couple of days. So it, you know, he's taken all his official visits, at least to those programs. Right. So what early signing day is what, November 8th. So, you know, it's kind of crunch time here.
2 weeks. And, you know, I think there's very little question that Maryland has the closest relationship with him personally. And obviously geographically with the people around him and his AAU program. And, you know, I'm pretty sure we're the only site to have gotten an interview with him this week. Colby did a great job getting an interview where Derek really kind of laid some things out about Maryland and the pitch and things like that. So there's really no question they have all those things working in their favor. Indiana's really pushing the NBA connection. Mike Woodson coached in the NBA, and they've had some players recently go to the NBA. So that's most of their sales pitch, maybe not most, but a big part. So when you compare those things,
had plenty of guys go to the NBA recently. I mean,
they've had one, I guess, you know, Schifino was a one and done. Otherwise, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is in the NBA, but that was probably
not for long. I don't think he's gotten off the bench yet in the summer.
Well, he never developed a jump shot, which I would think Maryland would be pointing out to Derek Queen. That kid was a great college player, but he's gone to the NBA. He didn't make a single three-pointer in his whole college career. I wonder how much they've mentioned that. But, you know, so when you compare those things, the NBA, and they have recruited him hard for a long time. Indiana, they have Liam McNeely, his close friend and teammate, is committed and is recruiting him very. So they have some connections, but when you compare the two at face value, Maryland has a lot of advantages.
Someone in the chat said we're at 71%. Over, under. That's not the game, but I'll just give you 71%.
Yeah, I'd say over.
Ooh, okay.
That's look, I probably don't need to explain the significance to anyone of this recruitment. I mean, to me, this is very much a pass-fail on Kevin Willard's ability to do this job. I mean, this is the whole recruiting class.
It is.
You know, we know, you know, the Canadian kid, there's a chance he might reclass, but that's going to take some time, even if he does, right? So this is the whole class. And
really good stuff on him, by the way. Not sorry to interrupt. I have some really good stuff on him on Bosa Oliogu on the site pretty soon also.
That's a nice little.
I can't remember a recruit that's so much hinged on the one player. I can't. Has that happened before? Like,
I mean,
it feels
the Harrison twins, if you count them as a package, that was pretty big.
Stone was part of a small class, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Is it pretty much him and
transfers? Like Suleiman.
Yeah. Suleiman came in.
Robert Carter
came Robert that Carter. Year. He'd already sat, but he was coming off that.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, it was they just Stone. It was Jalen Brantley. They got Jalen Brantley was the only other, aside from Suleiman, I think.
Remember when Brantley and the shooting guard who couldn't shoot very well.
Which one?
They did the dancing thing. They got famous for the dancing.
Jared Nickens
and Brantley
went on Ellen.
And went on Ellen. Yeah. Remember that? Jeez, I don't know. That just rushed back in my
phenomenon. Brantley on video games, and then I think they filed a lawsuit trying to get some money out of it because of all these video games that use the dance that they created and stuff. But I think it lost.
Everybody's pissed at me now for changing the subject off of Queen. So I will jump back. There's a question. Is Houston definitely out then? Because you didn't mention them. You mentioned Maryland and Indiana.
I don't see it being likely to be Houston.
Okay. No, the other schools that have been in the other schools have been in running, Kansas is one.
I mean, you can never count out Dollar Bill. He moves behind the scenes and just, you know, he walks in silence like lasagna.
Like real G's, like lasagna.
He's definitely a real G.
Did Larry just drop a rap lyric on us?
Yes, I did.
Dude, we need.
Oh yeah,
nothing sticks to that guy. It's amazing. Kansas got the most inevitable, predictable slap on the wrist in history. There's no buzz about Kansas. I mean, crazier things have happened because their NIL game is crazy, but they have a 5-star big man committed.
And who's the fifth team? Was it Miami? Is that the
fifth? No, LSU.
Kentucky, LSU.
He visited LSU like a month ago, so you have to, I guess, include them. I'm not hearing much about them. I would be beyond shocked if it was LSU. But
see, coming down to Maryland, Indiana. Probably.
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. For all of you wanting your Derrick Queen fix, there it was.
And there's some questions about his playing style and what. Let's hold off on that. Let's get him on board.
Get him in.
Let's get everything signed and sealed and hope that that's the case. And then we'll start breaking down the kind of player we get, but I can tell you he's special. Certainly as a college prospect for if the Queen, NBA, it's a whole other issue.
Queen and Oliogu would be just a great class, especially considering they're bigger players compared to the guard oriented class they got this year. I mean, imagine pairing them together. You know, it's how great.
And I had forgotten until somebody pointed it out today that Queen teamed with Julian Reese in the front court at St. Francis Academy early in his career. So if you were to get Julian Reese back, for whatever it's worth, those guys have played together before.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, Queen was the linchpin to this whole thing. And I've been openly complaining about this recruiting class for months on end. And if you get Queen, at least, like I said, in terms of a pass-fail situation, you have passed. That doesn't mean it's the optimal scenario, but you passed, you've done the thing you needed to do. Then it's like you go and you pull an Oliogu and get him to reclass. And it's like, okay, well now we're cooking with gas a little bit. And then hopefully for a guy like Willard, who's basically, you know, as a coach is moving up a level, being able to realize and figure out what he can, you know, what he needs to do to recruit this level. And what, you know, in a way, kind of what kind of players he feels like he can get based on how much NIL is going to be a factor, you know, whether there are local guys who are willing to stay and take a hometown discount, that type of thing. Like, he's learning at this job. I understand that. But the one thing we worried about when he came in, we knew he could coach basketball. The issue was whether he could recruit at this level. So you go and lock down Queen. It's like, all right, at least we know he did the thing he had to do. And then he can start shooting for the stars a little bit.
Well, the other thing is, besides the actual on-court team with Queen and the fan excitement, recruiting reverberations, the credibility it gives you with all those, there's tons of good players locally in 25 and 26 in those classes. You get Derrick Queen, that gets their attention. That makes Maryland cool. And so it could have a lot more, you know, side positive side effects in terms of recruiting.
And that's basically the entire story for basketball. It's queen, queen, queen. Anything, any like quick headlines about football recruiting, anything we should know about?
Quiet. No, it's really quiet lately. Same stuff we discussed, you know, trying to flip a lot of these guys from other schools, mostly focused on the season, finishing strong. I'm sure they'll have a bunch of visitors, obviously, for Penn State and Michigan. I'm sure they'll try to get as many of those top flip guys at those games as they can. And same thing we've said a million times, find a way to win one, you know.
We're going to end the show with Maryland Rank 'Em. I'm going to give you guys a list of Maryland-related topics. You have to rank them based on some sort of criteria. Before we do that, lots of people in the chat live today with us. Do us a favor. Click subscribe. Hit that like button. Thank you very much. Jeff, we'll start with you. Rank these basketball season accomplishments in order of most likely. Win the Big Ten regular season. Win the Big Ten tournament. Win the NIT. Win the NCAA tournament.
Son of a bitch, you are good.
I saw the look Paul made as soon as I said win the NIT.
I was so happy this wasn't my question.
Yeah, NIT, my brain just started like wrapping around itself.
Four possible things to win, rank them, and most likely or least to most or most to least. Either way.
I'm gonna say most likely Big Ten regular season. They're top three going in. I don't think there's a strong favorite. I think they're really good. Then I'll say Big Ten tournament, even though they've been horrendous there. Most of that was under Turgeon, and anybody can win a few games. Then I'll go win NIT because we know the odds at any point winning a national championship. You know, I think they'll be really good this year, but that's still one in a million, and then national championship.
Well, I would flip those last two because – the chances of them being in the NIT are so small.
Yeah, like, they are. But
they're not as small as winning the whole thing.
I don't know.
It all is the Powerball, you know?
Yeah. Like 2% of 99 is higher than 10% of 1.
I haven't looked yet to see what they're
– right?
Or I don't know if they've been posted yet to see
whatever those numbers are. Anyway.
Futures are.
All right, Paul, rank these football season final scenarios in order of most likely. Miss a bowl game entirely, limp to the finish and barely make a bowl, get to 9 wins counting the bowl game.
I don't know. I'm still fairly optimistic. I think get to 9 with the bowl win and then a small gap to limp throughout the season, but get to a bowl, and then a much bigger gap to basically lose out.
Yeah.
I think I don't think they're as bad as they were against Illinois. And like I said, even in that situation, which was just dying for a letdown, Prather scores that touchdown before the half, the game's over, and we're already bowl eligible and not even having this discussion.
Yeah. I think I have a hard time between limp to the finish and winning 9. That's what made that one interesting for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff, rank these basketball players in order of scoring average this season in alphabetical order and basically the projected starting 5. DHS, Jamie Kaiser, Julian Reese, Dante Scott, Jameer Young.
Jameer Young by a tiny bit over Julian Reese because he'll have the ball more. Although I still think Julian Reese is going to be their best player this year. So Jameer, Julian Reese, Dante Scott. No, you know what? I'll go Dante, then DHS, then Kaiser. Really close between 3 and 4.
Okay. Paul, rank these basketball outcomes in order most likely. They're top 10 to 15. Team all season, winning 4 to 5 combined postseason games. They show incremental improvement over last season, being a solid top 25 team all year, win 2 to 3 postseason games. They're a repeat of last year, showing promise at times, but ultimately not a threat to the Big Ten and NCAAs, or they regress this season and don't make the NCAA at all.
I think they'll be a little bit better this year. than last year. I think that's most likely. I think second most likely is a team just like last year. I think third most likely is they become elite. And fourth is that they struggle. I think they're gonna be pretty good this year.
I do too.
I think they'll be better than last year, and I think last year was better than what we thought coming into it. So that's my hope. We'll see. Ask me around Christmas.
Jeff, rank these possible outcomes in the Derek Queen recruitment. He commits to Maryland by this weekend. He commits to Maryland by the end of the month. He commits to Maryland on signing day, or someone swoops in at the last minute with an absurd NIL offer and he commits somewhere else.
Signing day is most likely to Maryland. Then this weekend, which is not very likely. You said, what was the other one besides somebody swooping in with NIL? Like
within the next month.
Oh, I got you. No, probably NIL before that because there's just no way. I don't think it's going to last that long. I don't think that's likely, but you never know, as I've written 50,000 times. And then after that, commits in a month because I don't see it dragging that long.
All right. Well, I'm glad somebody else was third on that list. All right, Paul, rank your favorite part of the tailgate tradition, hanging out with friends, the nostalgia of being back at your alma mater, the food and drinks, or the excitement of Maryland football.
Well, it depends what time of year is this particular tailgate, because there's plenty of excitement in September. I mean, it's always friends with me. It's a lot of these people I don't get to see very much during the, you know, everybody's married with kids and, you know, got crazy stuff going on. So that's always number one. The excitement is, especially in September, is nice. And then the food and drinks, and then, I mean, the nostalgia is fine, but you know, I live half hour from campus, so it's not that big a deal to swing on by.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing I tell people about tailgates, man. You don't even have to like football, man. It's really good to get together with people and hang out and do the thing.
And food and drink is kind of involved in all that. The booze is sprinkled over all those.
It is like magic fairy dust over all those things.
But some people really get into like the whole like grilling, food, making drinks, like that whole culture. That's like a big important.
Yeah. Well, I will say, like, you know, once a year, generally we'll roast a pig. We'll do a whole pig, you know, like,
see,
like,
yeah, that's cool stuff.
Like a 120 pounder in a pig box. And, you know, we'll get there early, and we got a couple cop friends that'll let us in the parking lots early and all that stuff. So that's super cool. And, you know, that's just, we've had a big group that's been doing this for a long time. So, and I suggest it to everybody, man, you know, just find some people and just go grill, go hang out. And then you get to go to a football game afterwards. You know, the football game doesn't even have to be the main thing. Just go get on campus, hang out with your friends, take kids. You know, it's, you're we're trying to build something here.
I took some friends from Maryland to the Ohio State game a few weeks ago, and your comment, Larry, on how people do it up, they were just like, it was like people who were just at Disney World or NYC for the first time. You would not, I mean, we wandered around the stadium. I've been there a bunch of times. They hadn't, and it is just, it's like a city of RVs and just 100,000. I mean, if you haven't, that's not to disparage Maryland. Maryland's got a good scene, but if you haven't been somewhere like that, you definitely should.
Well, I already did that with the people from the athletic department, so I disparaged Maryland for them. Yeah.
It's different. It's like, it's different. You know, I mean, it's taken like different. The big groups like mine, and except everybody's like that.
Yeah.
That question was awesome. The tennis has been such dog shit for so many years.
How do you plan on making it less dog shit?
could we do that interview without asking that?
No,
you had to, and I'm glad you got it out of the way, because we were able to, you know, toot their horns a little bit towards the end.
So, had to ask
yeah.
it. Had
yeah,
to
no,
ask
yeah, it was. It was. I said my journalism school brain was very pleased that you pulled that up.
All right, what did we learn today? We learned that the athletic department folks are doing an amazing job improving the game day experience, increasing the ticket sales. Naki learned us about the basketball team, gets us all excited for that. Jeff promised Derek Queen.
Yep, 100%.
He's going to up his crystal ball to 10, from 7 to 10
if
right
you're
now.
Watching this, and if they don't get queen, we'll give you your money back for watching this.
That's right. Yeah. We're watching this free podcast.
All right. Well, hey, we had an awesome crowd today. So many people joining. I think many for the first time. Thank you guys so much. We're here every Wednesday. We're doing every Wednesday at 7:30. We'll be doing that throughout the season, unless there's a game day on a Wednesday night, in which case, if that happens, we will let you know. And those games aren't starting for a couple weeks anyway, so not to worry yet.
Yeah, and check out the YouTube page. We put it's a whole Inside Maryland Sports YouTube page now, not just the radio show. It's everything. We've got shorts.
To mention that.
Shorts getting popped out every day right now. We've got the big show every Wednesday. Lots of videos. We're just getting started with this stuff. Like, we're really trying to pump it up and get some eyballs. We appreciate all the people we've been bothering about subscribing recently. We hit 1,000 subscribers. Yeah. That's great. It really helps me and Larry, especially, convince our wives that we should be able to continue to do this more often. And now we just got to get to 2,000. So we're just going to have to keep bothering you, and you should bother your friends and family and everybody else.
Yeah,
send this episode to a friend before you forget.
Send it to a friend. And someone in the chat mentioned I was going to say it anyway. Said y'all got Trey doing work, and I wanted to call out Trey. Love Trey. Love what he's doing. And hopefully we'll get him on this show a couple of times.
Absolutely. Yep.
He's killing it.
He's doing a great job. So everybody look for his stuff. He's the one pumping out the shorts and the clips and all that kind of stuff. So a huge, huge welcome to the team for him. He's awesome. So, all right, everybody, thank you very much. It's been a little longer episode than normal because we had two sets of guests, I guess we should say. And they were all awesome. So we had some good interviews, and we will see you guys next week. Again, Wednesday at 7:30. This is IMS Radio.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.